And welcome into the Thursday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. Hope everybody's off to a great start to their day. What a great day today is. Joe Rex Road, how are we doing? What's going on?
Doing terrible. Absolutely terrible.
Why's that?
I woke up today and found out the Golden State Warriors lost to the freaking San Antonio Spurs on a freaking buzzer beater. Mm. They went from possibly getting the 3 seed. They're going to be in the freaking play-in now. I just said freaking 4 times. I mean, I'm so pissed off.
Well,
it's unbelievable. They were up by 12 going for the freaking Spurs.
No Wimby either.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely like
at home.
At home.
Wow.
It's disastrous. So, I'm going to be in a bad mood today. Sorry.
Your well wishes to Rex Road.
Everybody. But we did just have this, I don't know, they just showed like this Cubs game and this couple like feeding each other a hot dog. And then they put it next to the Lady and the Tramp cartoon. Yeah. That was pretty beautiful. That's the type of thing that can cheer you up a little bit.
Interesting display in public that those two had at the baseball game. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff there.
Done some dumb things at Wrigley Field, too.
Now there's Luka just crying all over the place last night in Dallas. Very emotional, Luka Doncic, in the video last night on Return to Dallas.
Yeah. Like if people weren't already, you know, like upset enough or like on his side enough, that display of crying that he gave, you know, just to make sure everyone. And then it's like the entire game, they're chanting "Fire Nico" at their GM.
That bottom lip was quivering, like he's about to lose it out there at that chair.
Man, I tell you what, man. But good for him, you know. Real men cry.
Yeah, he came in there last night and had 31 in the first half. Yep, pretty good.
45 overall.
Pretty good.
Yeah, and then apparently now, you know, Anthony Davis, I don't know if it's true or not. I've seen the still photo. It looked like he may have flipped off LeBron as he walked onto the court. He definitely did not, like, when they went out for the tip, he didn't even look at him. He walked right by him.
Well, they eventually got their they did their little handshake. The LeBron's got 75 handshakes with all these different people.
Yeah.
They eventually did it before the tip. But, yeah, it did take a while. I saw that.
Oh, did they do that before the tip?
They did.
Okay. Well, I missed
that. But it was it took a minute.
When they did the handshake,
it's almost like Anthony Davis, like, oh, yeah, you're over here. Hey, how's it going?
Now, like during the handshake, did he sneak in the middle?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Pop the middle up there.
I have to go study the film, see what happens. Big day today in the world of sports. The Masters underway. Rex Road's going to break down each player in the field a little bit later in the show. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, we'd probably need a whole hour for that.
Yeah, Rex Road's thoughts on Victor Hovland coming up at about 7:08 today.
Yeah,
in the program.
First time I heard that name. Sounds good. And Santa in Portland, good point. He's like, I thought we were transitioning to farting being our word of choice. Yes, I you're right. It is. It still is. Don't worry. Hubert, we will honor Hubert Davis. That's just the word that came to mind right there. Freaking unbelievable, man.
Keezer, how are we doing? What's going on?
Morning, fellas. Yeah, I know Joe's queuing me up for my nicked off later.
Yes.
I'm not a very angry person, but I have a couple of ideas.
Okay.
So
that's good.
Stay tuned.
7:45, nicked off on the program
today. Let's do it.
It is the penultimate day of Keezer on our program today.
That's right. Penultimate.
There's a big word for you.
Keezer's penultimate shift.
I didn't know that word before I came on the show, so now I've been able to use it every now
there
and then.
There you go. That's what we're here for. This is an educational program.
That Hendersonville High School education.
I mean, nothing like Hendersonville Commando education that you can get out there. So Lewis Riddick from ESPN, who a friend of the show and does a great job on ESPN, was espousing some hot takes yesterday, Joe, about Cam Ward, that if you're a Titans fan, I think you're really going to like to hear, especially if it goes the way we think it's going to go in the draft. Here is what Lewis Riddick had to say on what he believes Cam Ward could turn into in the NFL yesterday.
Look, I said my comp for Cam Ward because of the way he plays. He reminds me of Patrick. He reminds me of Mahomes with how he can be unconventional, throw the football from all different kinds of weird angles, and then just put a bunch of horsepower on it when he needs to. And look, to me, if someone was telling me, hey, that's maybe what you're getting, I'd be pretty damn excited. Now, I'm not saying I'm exactly right, but that's my bet, that Cam Ward will have that kind of impact and play that kind of style of football in Tennessee if they happen to select him number one.
So that was Lewis Riddick yesterday. Now, to me, Joe, the end of that sentence there are two very different things. playing that style of football is one thing. He also said has that kind of impact. So, okay, we'll see. That's a heck of a bar in terms of the impact for a quarterback to have. But if I'm a Titans fan, sure, man, I'll take Cam Ward having that type of impact.
Yeah. Yeah, like the style. We've talked about that before, right? Like there's some obvious style comparisons there. But and so that's fine. Yeah, having the impact. What do you mean by that? What having the impact, like winning a bunch of Super Bowls? Like
getting yourself into the conversation for the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
That's the impact Patrick Mahomes had. What are we talking about here? You know, what's the limit here on what the impact would be? Yeah, the style, sure. I mean, I don't think that's crazy, you know. Different arm angles and big time ability to throw the football, but yes, the impact. I mean, my goodness, that's a big wide-ranging term for what it could mean. So, if Lewis Riddick got pinned down, which someone should have pinned him down right after that and said, "Okay, so are you saying he's could be as good as Patrick Mahomes?" Right. He'd probably be like, "Well, yeah. I mean, maybe he wouldn't. I don't know." I'm sure there was a lot of reaction to that one. If you're ever going to make a comparison to like an all-time great in anything, like you really need to have that disclaimer of I'm talking about, because this has happened to me on the show, right? Yeah. Where I'm like very clearly trying to be like, I'm talking style, okay? Or I'm talking, you know, type of player, or there's some similarities in some ways as opposed to this will be exactly that.
Remember when people thought you were comparing John Hines as a coach to Bill Belichick?
Yes. That was fun. There you go. There's a great example. Yeah. And I don't even remember, like,
what the context was.
What was my point there?
I don't remember. But all I remember is nobody cared what your point was after that, because it was all that Rex Rowe just said John Hines is Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick, without the greatest quarterback or one of the greatest quarterbacks, won no playoff game. I don't know. Was it something like that?
Probably so.
Yeah. They're similar.
They are.
Yeah.
I just thought, you know, Lewis Riddick there is talking about, I'm not saying I'm right. Not saying I'm right. But then the very next breath is, you know, not only the style of play, but the impact that he believes he can have. So, look, you know, we've gotten some texts over the last couple of weeks here from Titans fans of, you know, from some accusing us of setting a narrative here of, Why are you guys buying into this narrative that Cam Ward's not very good? Go look at guys like Kurt Warner, who have been highly vocal on Cam Ward and the player they think he can be. Now Lewis Riddick. Now, all these people on TV are saying that Cam Ward could be really, really good. Now you got Lewis Riddick comparing him to Patrick Mahomes. What's wrong with you guys on Robbie and Rex Road that you can't get this figured out?
I guess.
I'm just saying I could go by my thoughts on the guy, but certainly if you want to get out, if you're a Titans fan out there, and you want to find some people that love Cam Ward, you can find them. Sure. They're out there.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. So Riddick would fall in that category. Who are the big pro Cam people out there?
Sims loves Cam Ward.
Sims is big.
Right? He loves Cam Ward. I think Kurt Warner's been pretty vocal on the Cam Ward front.
I've missed him.
Yeah. Like, I mean, there are guys out there that love Cam Ward.
I think Kuiper has him, what, top five?
Kuiper's got him ranked, I believe, fifth overall. Now, I think he's had Sanders at four the whole time, too.
Well, so, Mel and I are on the same page.
You are?
But I would put both of them lower than that overall. But yeah, I mean, there's that. And, again, when we talk about, in all seriousness, like the narrative or whatever, I mean, we've continued to go with – like consensus rankings. I know, like, The Athletic, he's what, 12, 13, Cam is, right? You know, so that seems to be overall, I would say, if you took everyone who does anything with the draft and put it all into one big box and try to do a consensus thing, I think he would be outside the top 10 as a prospect, which, again, that's just a difference between some of these years with some of these top quarterbacks.
But again,
doesn't mean he can't be great. Doesn't mean he won't be great. Doesn't mean he won't be Patrick freaking Mahomes part two.
I was going to say, I bet when you did the consensus rankings that Mahomes was probably outside of the top 10 too.
Oh, no question.
I mean, he went 10th, didn't he?
Yeah. Oh, no question. Yeah. No, Patrick Mahomes, I mean, luckily, I don't think there would have been any reason that I would have written anything. But if I did back then, I would have been like, yeah, this Texas Tech, I wouldn't touch that. Texas Tech, that offense. Yeah. I mean, seriously. Yeah, Grady has a big arm, but what does that mean? No, I mean, that whole draft was all about, really, it was like Watson and Trubisky was really all the discussion, you know? And, I mean, we know how one of them turned out from the basically start. Now, one of them, how that's changed, and Mahomes will be the greatest quarterback of all time. So, yeah, man, it like, there are, seriously, stylistic and trait comparisons to make between those two. But I think Riddick probably should have clarified. When he says impact, that's what he's saying.
Well, that's what
he
said.
I want it to. Okay, say it. Say it explicitly, word for word. Then that what you're saying.
Lewis Riddick threw it out there yesterday on ESPN that he thinks certainly in terms of style, and he said impact, that Cam Ward could be Patrick Mahomes. Take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll have the best and worst things in sports coming up later this hour at 645. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into the NFL draft, all things NFL, with him as well. All that coming up, Robbie and Rex Row, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game, broadcasting from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Skyler on the text line, Joe, says, so this week we've narrowed down that Cam Ward needs to be somewhere between Baker Mayfield and Patrick Mahomes. Boy, do we need the draft to hurry up and come so we can move on. Amen.
Yeah. No, we need it. We need it bad. I got a text here, and I've seen this a few times. I don't think I've ever addressed it. I don't know. Maybe you guys have, you and PK. The Ward compared to Steve McNair. I don't really see that at all.
Well, we've gotten several questions about that. I don't know that I necessarily see it all that much. Like,
Ward's not going to be a running QB. Like, he doesn't really. He can move okay, but no. Like, McNair could rip off a 60-yard touchdown run in the NFL,
right?
And outrun like safeties taking bad angles. Like, you know, like there's. Plus, McNair was like big, strong.
McNair was a tank.
Yeah, yeah. I don't really see it at all. Actually, I mean, look, the Mahomes thing is like, again, stylistically. If you're talking about, again, especially just the weird off platform, different arm angle, holy cow, look at that throw thing. That's where I see it for sure. But again, you know, Patrick Mahomes, consistently great, always doing the right things, you know, having a game on a string, being the greatest quarterback we've seen. That's where I'm like, nah, I'm not quite there with Cam Ward. But stylistically, yes, a little bit. Stylistically, with Steve McNair, I really don't see it at all.
No, I mean, are there some similarities? Sure. Like, McNair had a big arm. Like, he had a huge arm. I think naturally, when you're a quarterback that's drafted in the first round, particularly high in the first round, you would hope that there's some similarities to some of these other guys in the past that have been drafted that high. But again, like, go back and watch Cam Ward college. I don't think he's going to be ripping off 65-yard scrambles on the ground in the NFL.
No, he's not. Yeah, he's not an especially strong runner. Yeah, not all that fast.
He can get himself out of trouble on occasion, he's not a statue back there. But he's not McNair in terms of running the ball.
Right. Another guy, you talk about him in the pocket. You know, if you watch enough Cam Ward, the thing that he also the guy he reminds me of, actually, and it's in like kind of a weird way, but it's like you really don't see quarterbacks do this much, is if you think about Joe Milton at times at Tennessee, Joe Milton would just like stand. He was just like stand in the pocket and then be like, and throw. Cam Ward does that too. Like he's good at getting out of trouble at times, but also he'll just kind of like stand or drift forever. And, you know, and sometimes a play will develop and sometimes we'll get into trouble. But it's like it's stuff that, like, you watch it, you're like, there's no way you can do that in the NFL. You know what I mean?
I really hope Kuharski's listening to you bring up Joe Milton right now.
Of course he is. It's like Joe Milton.
Hey, I will say, you know, the last time Joe Milton played.
Looked good.
If that was the only time anybody saw Joe Milton play football, they'd be like, oh, so that's a good starter in the NFL, right?
I mean, he's part of the reason the Titans are sitting where they are.
That's right.
Number one.
Yeah, that's right. Joe Milton bringing Cam Ward to Tennessee.
Terrell on the text line says, all this talk about Ward is like Mahomes. All this talk about Ward is like Mahomes is like when they said Tracy McGrady's the next Jordan or someone's the next Kobe. They both had Phil Jackson. We need Callahan to be the next Andy Reid for all this to work. This is from Terrell on the text line.
That's probably a good point there, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. That's a big part of it, too. And look, that is a big part of – I mean, Patrick Mahomes, it's hard for me to, like, imagine he wouldn't be great, you know, like in just about any situation. But he does have a great situation. I mean, Andy Reid is a great situation. Andy Reid, I think, strongly, you know, has been a voice in their personnel too, right? Like, not just as a coach. I think Andy Reid got himself to the point in Kansas City where, you know, which is why it's also relevant to this place, because it's like Borgonzi comes over here from there. Obviously, the personnel department's done well, but I also think it's like it's largely Andy Reid's genius as a coach and as an evaluator that is why Patrick Mahomes is where he is. So, yeah, there's a lot that goes into this, you know. There's a lot that goes into it. Like if Patrick Mahomes went to – my beloved Detroit Lions, you know, and for most of their existence, we probably wouldn't be talking about them.
Probably not. But sometimes it's luck of the draw there, and we'll see if the Titans are that part of the luck of the draw. Chris is saying that we sound like Stillbilly with his love for Darnold when we're talking about Ward being the best quarterback of all time. I'll just point out, we did not say this stuff.
Damn, Chris.
Listen. Lewis Riddick did. So, yeah. Lewis Riddick is the one making the comparison to Patrick Mahomes, not us. Just throwing it out there.
I want the clarification, you know. Again, the impact. That is the impact of Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, like that could mean many things, but when you say that, I need to know. Like what are we talking about?
Exactly are you talking about?
Like the impact, like does he also have an annoying ass little brother who goes on TikTok? Like that's impact on the world. I don't know. But if you're talking about impact as a as a quarterback, that's a heck of an impact.
It is.
You're talking about here.
One texter says Malik Willis was a better comparison to McNair coming out of college than Cam Ward is. I could probably buy that. I mean,
okay, Willis. Okay, that's because someone earlier talked about Malik Willis and Cam, which I don't see. Again, Malik Willis, the best thing he does is run, right? Like that, and he has a big arm. But I mean, but he is very much like. If you're playing him like genius coach of
Matt
your team,
LaFleur.
So he put stuff in and leaned into what he does well. Yeah, but I would agree with that. Yeah, Malik Willis is closer to Steve McNair than Cam Ward is.
And by the way, I don't think like Malik Willis is all that close to Steve McNair either, which kind of goes to show you sometimes people just make comparisons for the sake of making comparisons. And
right.
Sometimes they're valid, sometimes they're not.
Yes. Sometimes
we always got to have a comparison.
They have big impact. Sometimes they don't.
Like I'm interested when this draft comes around, and you've got like Kuiper on ESPN. It's like, you know, my player comp for James Pierce would be, I don't know, T.J. Watt. It's like, okay, sure.
Yeah, the player comps are always big, man.
It's good stuff. Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Kenny the Mailman to the program. Kenny, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, good friends. You know, everybody's talking about the quarterback comparisons, this and that. But I continue. I would love to shine the flashlight on the coaching staff, because last year, everyone knows their roster was limited, but I saw no improvements with anyone, nothing at all dynamic schemes to get someone open to find something that would work. They put a quarterback out that was not mentally ready to play. He has all kind of physical tools. He just didn't look like he knew what he was doing at all. And on top of that, did they not put a C on his jersey?
I believe they did.
And, you know, players know. They know when someone doesn't deserve to be on the field. And to pick that guy to lead, and it's just, I think there should be more questions about the coaching staff than who they're going to pick. I want to see what y'all say about that.
Thank you,
have a great day.
Appreciate it. Now, just for clarification, the captains are voted on by the players. So,
yeah, I'm going to partially disagree with Kenny there because of that, what you just said. And I think this is a classic example of, I mean, look, we all saw Levis play. But I think that you talk about players know who deserves. Yeah, around the building, Levis did in the film room, what Levis did every day in the meeting rooms, what Levis did on the practice field, that he did deserve it. That's the problem, is that then you don't take it to the game. Then it doesn't come together for you. Now, again, I agree that then you look at coaching there too. So how is there a disconnect? Like, why were you so confident in him? Because, remember, Callahan was. He was vocally, outwardly, beyond just coach speak, confident that Levis was going to have a good year.
Yes.
And earned it and was ready. And then the games happened. So, I think it's fair to definitely look at the coaches. But I think there's a little bit of a misunderstanding there with like what Levis did to get himself on the field. It was all looking good until the game started, you know. And then some players are like the opposite. You want the player who sucks in practice, and you know, it just is a gamer, and that's, you don't want the opposite. You don't want what Levis was last year,
which is part of why, like, I think in the first 2 weeks last year when you had the miracle flip and the rolling the ball around on the ground, that the most stunned person in the entire building in both occasions was Brian Callahan.
Yeah.
He's like, what is going on out here?
Right.
Like, what are you doing?
couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
So, but again, I agree with Kenny that, like, yeah, the coach is big time question there. And I think there's a lot of the overall product last year that makes you wonder about that question for sure. But I do think, you know, that's what the Levis thing is so much like, okay, so was this a case of poor development? You can see some stuff from Callahan at the owners' meetings. He had an interesting conversation with Kevin Clark of I always want to say Clark's Ringer, but now he's ESPN, on quarterback development and some of the stuff they did with Levis. It all makes sense. It all sounds good. It's smart. Like, and I do think that they probably did the right things with Levis. But some people are going to want to just say, yep, you can't blame the coaches. The kid went out there and just stunk. And some people are going to want to say, well, Levis had no offensive line, no receivers, and the coaching wasn't good enough, and now he's going to be scapegoated. I think we're gonna have to find out as we move forward on both things.
Callahan is really interesting to me heading into this year from everything we've talked about this offseason as it relates to, you know, when they draft Cam Ward here. The idea of moving on from Callahan after the first year would not be exciting to me if I'm a Titans fan, just from the standpoint of, like, do you really want to get your quarterback behind the eight ball? We've talked about that. Also, though, Joe, like, based on what I saw last year, I have serious questions about Brian Callahan as to whether or not he can do this job. So I'm really torn on what to think about him heading into this, because I also, like, as much as I don't want to put Cam Ward behind the eight ball and just say, well, you're coming in your first year and then we're going to fire the coach and then we're bringing in somebody else and you're learning a whole new system, I don't want to do that. I also think that there's a chance, and we'll see, but I think there's a chance that Brian Callahan may not be a good coach, and I don't want to keep that around forever either, just for the sake of keeping him around. It's a tough spot to be in.
Yeah, for sure. And it's like you have the coach, CEO, overall improvement and just like the overall product that you have to judge him on this year. It could be bad, you know, the results could be bad, but if the quarterback aspect of it is promising, does that trump the other stuff, you know?
It's a great question.
Probably does. But I don't know. You know, I mean, I don't think anybody has any illusions that this is a very good team. They shouldn't. But I agree with Kenny. I mean, like, there wasn't a lot last year to point to that made you feel great about the coaching.
No, absolutely not. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, it's time for Preds Pick to Click. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025. If you guess the goal scorer, you'll win a pair of tickets to a future National Predators home game. We'll do that coming up next. We'll also continue the conversation on Cam Ward, Brian Callahan, and the Titans. We've got the best and worst things in sports coming up at 6:45. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. It is time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Preds in action tonight, taking on Utah, the Utah Hockey Club on the road. Max Herz will have your pregame later tonight. Pete Weber on the call. And congratulations are in order to our own Joe Rex Road, who has officially won the competition in Preds Pick to Click.
Thank you.
With the assistance of Paul Kuharski, who I believe PK has 4 of your 16 correct answers.
Did he get 4?
He got 4.
Wow, I thought he got 3, but yeah. All right, thanks, PK.
So you have officially locked this up. Our last Preds Pick to Click will be, I believe, on Monday. So that's our last one of the year, which means that no one can catch you in the competition. You're at 16. The listener's at 13. I'm at 8. Keezer's at 5. Everybody except Keezer on the board last game. So big game in the competition.
Yeah, 7-goal game, you know.
Yeah, the odds are pretty high. You can get 7 goals every night. With that in mind, let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Wesley to the program. Wesley, good morning. Thank you for calling in. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
I'm going to go Ryan O'Reilly.
I'm with Ryan O'Reilly. Thank you, Wesley, for the call.
Yes, sir.
O'Reilly fresh off a high stick to the face last time out. Nose is a little bloody, so we'll see how that goes tonight. Give me Stamkos. He's playing well right now. He's on a little bit of a heater. I think he keeps it going. O'Reilly, Stamkos, off the board. Keezer, your pick to click.
Yeah, I'll go with Luke Evangelista.
Ooh, Luke Evangelista. Rex Road, your pick to click for the Nashville Predators tonight.
I mean, I could just go total deep cut because who cares? I won. But I think I'd like to get to the Titans' weekly output and get to 17.
Nice.
So give me Forsberg.
Going with Philip Forsberg, the selection. O'Reilly, Stamkos, Evangelista, Forsberg. It's your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators as they take on the Utah Hockey Club. Going back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, a lot of different thoughts on the Cam Ward comparisons out there. Somebody says Teddy Bridgewater is the comparison for Cam Ward. It's a lot of different comps for Cam Ward being thrown around on the text line right now. A lot of people that we've heard from don't necessarily love the McNair comparison. Say that it's not fair to Ward, and it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense.
It's not a good comparison. It's a bad comparison. Sorry. I understand that they both may be Tennessee Titans quarterbacks.
That would be where a comparison begins.
Yep, there is that. But, I don't – and, you know, someone saying, like, why would we have to do the comparison? Well, we're always going to do the comparisons. I mean, we're always going to do this, right? And then you just have to be real careful with your wording, you know, like when you say the impact of Patrick Mahomes.
I think they'll have the impact of Tom Brady.
Yeah.
That will be what happens.
Yeah. So, again, what does that mean? You know, the impact of Tom Brady. How much did avocado tequila skyrocket in sales that one time? Mm. How much has Botox benefited from him? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's different ways.
I mean, different cell phones.
Different ways he's. Yeah. How many more people got
burner phones? Stock of Verizon went up incredibly.
Yeah. How many more people got burner phones and they realized what he was trying to do with the Deflategate? I mean, there's just a lot of ways you could look at it. But we're always going to do comparisons of players. Like, we'll never be able to resist that. You may as well not argue against it. It's always going
to
happen.
I got one texter that says Brian Callahan seemed to be a good game planner throughout the week. Because he had a great first couple drives, and then most of the games didn't do very well at in-game adjustments, which makes me wonder if he's just a better offensive coordinator than he is a head coach. But I guess we'll see next season. I think it's at times fair. Like they had some, I think some good scripted stuff.
Yeah, they had some good scripted drives. First drives, some not every time,
not every time, but some, but certainly. As we've discussed really like the last 3 years with this team, for whatever reason, when it flips to the second half, they struggled. Like they struggled to put up points really at all times, but especially in the second half. So that's not just a last year thing. Like that was the same thing the year before too, where Vrabel was the coach and they could not score points in the second half. It's the weirdest thing.
Right. It's like, is that a stamina thing with your players? I don't know. Obviously, we always talk about adjustments. Again, one of my favorite overrated things in the world is quote-unquote halftime adjustments. They have time to get an orange slice and then come back out. You're making adjustments every series. You're making adjustments all game long. The extra couple minutes you have to talk at halftime does not completely alter your game plan. You know what I mean? But people, look, every announcer of every game talks about it, so it's going to be an overrated thing forever. But adjustments, agree, in-game adjustments. I can't argue that it wasn't good enough. It is interesting how it's been a thing through two totally different coaching staffs with this team. So I think bad players has something to do with it. That's the consistent part of those staffs. They both had bad players, but agree, like at some point, all of it needs to change. More points, more offense, some points in the second halves of games. That'd be great.
Well, I brought this
up. That's the kind of impact we're looking for, Cam Ward.
Have some of that. I brought this up with PK the other day, and I'd be interested to get your thoughts on it too, because I'm thinking back to Callahan's end of season press conference where he talked about basically, you know, one thing he learned throughout the course of the year last year was he probably did not spend as much time with other parts of the team other than the offense that he wanted to, which sounds great. Like, I get that when you're the offensive coordinator slash play caller and you're in charge of the game plan for the offense, like, you're spending a lot of time throughout the week with the quarterbacks, with the offense, all that stuff. So how do you go about, if you're him, trying to make sure that you're spending the time that's necessary with the rest of the team while not sacrificing what is supposed to be your strength, and that is dealing with the offensive side of the football? I'm really interested to see how he does that this year.
Yeah. I appreciate the honesty there for sure, and it makes sense. It also is like, so you spend an inordinate amount of your time with that offense?
Yeah,
that's the offense that you produce with not spending enough? You know what I mean? That's the problem. But again,
need more Nick Holtz?
Again, bad players.
Yeah.
That does tend to make a coach look bad. And good players tend to make a coach look good. You know, Todd Golden of Florida during this tournament, obviously, he's a champion now. There are a lot of times that sideline, he's like, what the? And, yes, Walter, what a shot, yes. I mean, like, to some extent, you're all passengers.
I got one text that says, why would we think the end result in year one with Ward would be better than year two with Levis? Very little has changed except the quarterback if Ward is going to be the guy. Well, the quarterback's pretty important. Like, if Ward is
the end result would change if Ward is good.
Yeah, like if Ward is good, then
that's
the quarterback
idea.
Play is going to be significantly improved than what we saw a year ago.
Right. That's the idea behind taking a guy one overall, which, by the way, the other guy was taken in the second round. But also, the one thing that has changed, and I don't know how much better it will be, but they have done a lot to address the offensive line.
They have.
We'll find out if what they've done was effective, but you can't sit here and say they've just run it back completely.
I mean, we'll see if they've got anybody that can catch the ball by the time the season comes
around.
There's
that, yeah.
But yeah.
They got work to do.
There's some work to do.
Yeah.
But, again, like, how much – I don't know what the answer to this is. I don't know if there's an exact science to it. But how much better would the Titans have been last year if there was just decent quarterback play? I'm not even asking for, like, elite quarterback play. Like, decent quarterback play. Probably won a few more games. I mean, I can think of a couple off the top of my head you definitely would have won if there was just decent quarterback play. So, can you get that from Ward in year one?
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes a big difference.
Yeah, and there were some games where I think Levis was decent or better.
Yep.
You know, the game at Houston, he was good. Pick six, but he was good.
Yep.
He was actually, I thought, you know, managing the game well in Chicago until he completely wasn't, you know? I mean, how different is last year if they just win that game? I mean, who knows?
Could be significant. 615-737-1025, our phone number. The best and worst things in sports. Coming up next, we'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time!
This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles, yes! Unbelievable.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle, it's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Rex Road, lead us off with your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Okay, best, I'm going hockey, but I'm not going what you might think. I figure I'll leave that to you guys. There's an obvious best in hockey. No, I'm going to the Frozen Four, baby. The Western Michigan Broncos, alma mater of my dad, alma mater of my sister, playing in the Frozen Four today against Denver. Got a chance, two wins away from national championship. First Frozen Four in school history. They had one NCAA tournament win in the entire history of the program before this incredible run. Go Broncos.
Nice.
There's my best. My worst, I'm going to go back to San Antonio in the Final Four. Great job by Florida. You know, great job by Houston to beat Duke. Sorry, Vangan. Whew, boy, did those Dukies choke it away.
Tough one.
But my worst is just the way Houston lost that game. I mean, to not get a shot, to have those turnovers, and to end it with this, you know, the ball bouncing helplessly and everybody just watching the clock melt away. It's just, oh, my goodness. You had Florida over here celebrating wildly. Then you see Emmanuel Sharp on the ground. I mean, just like a missed shot is fine. It's a missed shot. It happens, you know. Just get a shot off. Get a shot off at all. Like in your last four possessions, you turn it over. It's cruel. And, look, Kelvin Sampson's a good enough coach to have a national championship to his name. He's actually done incredible things at Houston. And, yeah, he'll have a good team next year. But that might be the last shot, the last real shot for him to win this sucker. And what a brutal way for it to end.
Yeah, it was rough. There's no doubt about that. Keezer, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Ah, yes. Alexander Ovechkin, how many beers could he chug after celebrating his new goals record?
But, a few.
Yeah, quite a few. He was actually asking for them when he broke the record, so he didn't have them at that press conference, but he double-fisted them the first one. So, but no, Alexander Ovechkin making history was quite the moment to live watching that live. I wonder if he gets to 900. I'm sure he will. He's been asked about 1,000, so we'll see if he can get there. I don't know about 1,000, but we'll see. But my worst in sports this week, going back to NSC, it's been a couple of weeks since I mentioned anything about them, but this one's a doozy. Walker Zimmerman got knocked out by a bicycle kick on Saturday. Golly, got stretchered off.
Had to go to the hospital.
Neck brace, hospital, got released a few hours later. Just terrible. And he's been out a lot of the seasons previously. He's missed a lot of games. This is not a good look. But he's also getting to that age now where it's like he might think about leaving the game at some point. I don't know if this is going to help that case for him. But it's certainly not going to do well for him the rest of the year, especially leaving in a neck brace. But all the best to him, and we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, not a good look for Nashville's captain.
Got smoked on that play there. But glad he's apparently okay. Yeah. So we'll see.
Brutal.
What happens on that front. Best thing in sports, the Masters starting today.
Oh, boy.
And I guess some people around here, I guess, need to be shown that it is, in fact, a different type of golf tournament than, like, the John Deere Classic. Heard Stilley talking about this yesterday. Like, I don't understand. Like, it's a golf tournament. It's like, well, it is a major championship. It's like people would like to watch the major championships, and the course is pretty immaculate. So that's why it's a big deal. So that starts today. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to Rex Rhodes' breakdown of each member of the field later, too.
You brought up Stilley, by the way, again.
I did.
I did not.
That's true. My worst thing in sports, we're like a month after the beginning of NFL free agency, and Rodgers still hadn't done anything. He's just sitting there. You got Aaron Rodgers just sitting out there, apparently, quote, engaged in talks with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, what are we doing? Like, what's he waiting on? Is he waiting to see who they draft? Like, are they, I'm not coming if you guys draft, like, Shador. I don't want to have a drafted quarterback behind me. I don't know what he's doing. Like, I'm grasping at straws here to try to come up with why we're taking so long on this.
The only thing I can come up with anymore is just he just cannot live if he's not close to the top of the headlines on the ESPN crawl. Like, I don't know.
I don't know.
Or maybe he really is toying with, like, hanging it up. Okay, you've had how much time to figure this out? It's
interesting to me too that the bizarre. Steelers are just like, yeah, you just take your time, I guess.
Yeah,
I guess they have a choice at this point.
Maybe he wants to prove that he can even make them look incompetent. You know, probably like the model franchise in all of sports. Aaron Rodgers is taking on the challenge of, I can even make these guys look like fools.
Yeah,
by just sitting here for weeks and weeks and waiting on
it's
me.
Very odd. It's
ridiculous.
I mean, I thought we'd have a resolution on this long since the time that's happened here. Remember when Florio was like, yeah, there could be a deal as soon as today on like the first day of free agency. It's like, well, still waiting on that one.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it's soon, but I can't. I mean, I would even take like an Aaron Rodgers McAfee appearance to like explain himself.
People thought he was going to do that last night.
I wouldn't watch it, but I'd watch the, you know, you guys would tell me what
he said.
Yeah. Watch the clips, exactly.
Cam says the best is the Preds have secured a guaranteed top five draft pick. Almost to the draft. Worst is the player comps and the expectations that are put on a prospect are ridiculous. No one knows for sure if a guy's going to be good or not. And also, the Atlanta Braves are not good. The worst in sports for Cam on the text line. Ed says the best thing in sports was Rex Road being able to ride the elevator down to the hotel lobby and get his coffee in between a break. No, coming up clutch there. When you took the stairs,
good
you ended
call.
Up outside of the hotel. So
that's right. Yes. Yeah. It worked well this week for sure. Never took the stairs again.
615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. The Beast is out at the Athletic from our friend Dane Brugler. And some very interesting tidbits in there as it relates to Cam Ward. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.